grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In the Word of God recorded for us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and translated into our shared language, St. Matthew tells us in chapter 4 that after Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, he was then tempted by the devil in the desert. In that one-on-one battle with the devil in the desert, Jesus prevailed. He won that battle by properly wielding the Word of God. The devil had quoted Scripture at Jesus in order to tempt Jesus to do and say things which did not serve God's desire to save sinners by proclaiming the gospel of his everlasting kingdom. After the devil went away, Jesus was ministered to by angels, and then Jesus began to preach. He preached publicly in and out of the synagogues throughout Galilee, his time to proclaim the kingdom of heaven and to heal and to call his future apostles had come. The gospel text appointed for this fourth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord in the year of our Lord, 2026, is from St. Matthew, chapter 5. Here Jesus says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." The proclamation of the everlasting kingdom of heaven comes with both a warning and a blessing. Jesus called everyone to repent, but the first four men Jesus specifically called to repent and to follow him had been fishermen: Simon and Andrew, James and John. Simon, who Jesus would later call Peter, and Andrew, Peter's brother. Then James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee. They had left their father, their fishing nets, and their fishing boats, and obeyed Jesus' call to follow him. Jesus' call included the promise that he would make them into fishers of men. After seeing the diverse crowds coming to receive his healing and his wisdom, Jesus went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, specifically these first four apostles in training. The former fishermen and future fishers of men began to be taught what it means to proclaim the kingdom of heaven in a world where some men still pretend to be God-ordained kings. Though Jesus is stronger and has restrained the devil still prowls around like a lion looking for someone, especially preachers, he can devour. Lately, it seems we can't go long without hearing examples of preachers the devil has tried to devour. Lord, have mercy, and keep calling sinners to repent and confess while we still can, so we can all hear your gracious word of forgiveness in Christ crucified, which is the only word which can truly begin to heal the sinner's soul and the souls of those their sins have harmed. Lord, have mercy. The task of preaching the Lord's message of the nearness of his everlasting kingdom continues despite the devil's tricks, arrows, and demonic delusions. The proclamation of the everlasting kingdom of heaven includes calling sinners to repent, to be baptized, to confess their sins, and to confess their faith, even in the face of those who tempt and test believers and the one God in whom we believe. Then, even if God's enemies threaten to hurt or kill us or those we love, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And along the narrow way, he calls us to take and to eat his holy body and to drink his precious blood, which has been shed as the once for all atoning sacrifice that forgives every sin. In the face of persecution, God knows each man who desires to preach needs to know in no uncertain terms whether or not God himself has actually called and ordained him to preach. Though it's not necessary for a valid call, it helps when the hearers know it too. Jesus was ordained to save people from their sins at the annunciation of his birth, celebrated each year on March 25th. His call to preach was eventually confirmed when he was baptized and the voice from heaven spoke the words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately, his call and purpose, his divine purpose, were tested by the devil in the desert. Then holy messengers of God ministered to him, and after that he began to travel throughout Galilee and visit the synagogues, where he called sinners, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." An excellent theological education, followed by thorough theological examination and certification, and then by a letter from a congregation of the body of Christ through which the Holy Spirit calls men to preach, and with the confirmation of brothers in the ministry who provide the laying on of hands to bless a new man for the ancient ministry of public preaching and teaching, what God says is not as spectacular as the ordination and call of Jesus, but in the face of persecution and temptation, it's better than having just anyone simply stand up and claim to be a preacher for his own glorification. So Jesus opened his mouth and taught his disciples, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are humble. The poor in spirit do not think too highly of themselves. The poor in spirit think more about the needs of others than their own. The poor in spirit do not seek their own glorification, but the glorification of Christ and his mighty works. The prophets, apostles, and subsequent preachers of the everlasting kingdom of heaven suffer many losses for the sake of the righteous name of our Lord Jesus the Christ. The prophets and apostles often left the safety and security of their homes and their homelands. Some lost their loved ones emotionally, some lost them physically, and many faithful preachers have been and continue to be tortured and killed for the sake of the proclamation of Christ's righteousness. The Lutheran princes who presented their confession of the faith to the Holy Roman Emperor in Augsburg, Germany, in the year of our Lord 1530 were not preachers. They, too, were ready to give their own lives for the sake of Christ's righteousness when they humbly bowed and offered their own heads to the Emperor. Then the Lutheran communities who were not allowed to preach the pure word of God in 19th century Europe and Scandinavia left their own homelands and fled those unionistic practices for the sake of proclaiming Christ's righteousness in the new world. Just as the prophets and apostles, many preachers and their hearers continue to suffer the loss of their most cherished relationships. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We are comforted by the resurrection of Jesus, who is the firstborn of the dead. We are comforted by the Holy Spirit, who inspires faith through the holy ministry of God's own mighty word of forgiveness and the mysteries of his word in baptism and in his supper, which deliver his forgiveness through faith. We are comforted by his promise to hear our prayers in his name. We're comforted by his word of mercy and grace, despite our persistent weakness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, after Jesus passed on the devil's arrogant offer to grant Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, I'm not sure how we're supposed to feel about Jesus' promise that the meek, kind, and gentle shall inherit the earth, which he didn't seem to want. But just kidding. The earth and all creation are a great gift of God. Though the earth is currently plagued by sin and death, it will be either renewed or recreated when Christ returns on the last day. Since, after all, the earth doesn't really belong to the devil. The devil did not make the earth. The devil is just a squatter who has been crushed by the death and resurrection of the Son of God and who is about to be evicted forever. The meek, gentle, and humble are those who realize they do not have to appear powerful and fearsome in the face of evil, because the one with all the power and strength of divine righteousness fights for them, has already won the battle with death, and has promised to return and raise us all from our earthly graves to live with him in his everlasting kingdom. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are those who desire to receive every righteous thing the Lord provides in the righteous ways he provides them. God himself delivers his righteousness through his Spirit-inspired word. And those who hear his word and the gospel of his everlasting kingdom, his righteousness inspires and awakens faith in Christ crucified. His righteousness is not something he keeps to himself. His righteousness is something he gives away freely through faith in his name. Faith does not despise the good gifts Christ gives. Faith never gets tired of God's good gifts. Faith which has been and continues to be awakened by the Holy Spirit, working through the pure word of God, never says the good gifts of God are not special or are too common or ordinary or boring. Faith which the Holy Spirit of God awakens in you hungers and thirsts for the righteousness of Christ. And those who faithfully take and eat and take and drink what he gives shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The merciful are those who have something against someone, but choose not to hold it against them or to punish them to the full extent of the law. The merciful do not immediately raise a ruckus or start a riot when they think something is missing or if things do not go as they think they should. As long as there's still some hope for improvement. The merciful are those who have been sinned against, but do what Jesus tells each one of us to do. When he teaches his disciples to pray, he teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." He tells us if we do not forgive, then our own sins will not be forgiven. He tells us this because the righteousness that Jesus has is a righteousness which he gives away, so that we can also give away his righteousness for the sake of others. Jesus is so full of mercy, he has mercy to spare. Therefore, his disciples can be merciful without fear of ever running out of his mercy. But if your repeated attempts to be merciful find no hope for improvement, then you may give up and turn over the unrepentant sinner to those whose duty it is to punish. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart are those who watch what God does and ponder what God says and replace their own desires and passions, their own dreams and imaginations with the word of God. God alone purifies what is impure. His purity purifies everything he touches. In this way, the filthiest garbage man or rig hand, pig farmer or septage hauler may sit at home and think, "Our God has made me a man. He has given me my home, wife, and children, and has commanded me to love them and to support them with my work." In this way, he ponders the word of God in his heart. And though he stinks outwardly, inwardly he is pure, hypoallergenic incense before God. As the pure in heart take hold of the gospel of the everlasting kingdom of heaven and believe in Christ, then the pure in heart is completely pure. Inwardly in his heart toward God and outwardly toward everything under his God-given dominion, everything he is and does, his walking and standing, eating and drinking, is pure for him. And nothing in this world can make him impure. Even when he lovingly looks upon his own wife, lies with and pleases her. For here he has the word of God, and he knows that God has given him to her and her to him. But if he were to desert his wife and take up another, or neglect his job or duty and cause harm to her or other people, he would no longer be pure for that behavior is open rebellion against God's commandment. But as long as he sticks to these two, namely, the word of faith toward God, which purifies the heart, and the word of wisdom, which teaches him what he is to do toward his neighbor in his stations and vocations. Everything is pure for him, even if with his hands and the rest of his body he handles nothing but dung, sludge, and sewage. If a poor mother respects, obeys, and submits to her husband, does her duty, and is also a faithful Christian, then before God in heaven, she is a lovely and pure beauty, one that all the angels admire and love to look upon and admire. On the other hand, if she does everything perfectly, wears the perfect hairstyle, applies the perfect makeup, chases her dreams, attains the highest honors and finest accolades and professional awards, all while raising obedient children, cooking delicious and healthy meals, maintaining her figure, and keeping a perfectly clean and organized household, but does it all for her own glory, while choosing to ignore and forsake the explicit word and will of God for her vocations as Christian wife and mother, she is the most hideous of creatures, so that both God and his angels find her abhorrent and disgusting. Everything depends on the word of God. Whatever follows his explicit word and expressed will must be called clean, pure, and holier than the holiest of holies before both God and man. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the corrupt and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But whatever God does and ordains must be pure and good, for he makes nothing impure, and he consecrates everything through his word, which he has attached to every godly station and vocation. Therefore, be on guard against your own ideas if you want to be pure before God. See to it that your heart is founded and fastened on the word of God. Then you will be purer than the most self-righteous mother superior and all her holy sisters combined. When you have a true faith that Christ is your Savior, then you immediately see that you have a gracious God. For faith leads you and opens up the heart and will of God for you. There, you observe his amazingly gracious love. That is what it means to see God. The pure in heart see him, not with physical eyes, but with their ears, by which faith comes through hearing the word of God. With faithful ears, you see his fatherly, friendly heart where there is no anger or displeasure. You see him as a gracious and faithful father, on whom you can depend for every good thing. This happens only through faith in Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers are the people who help aggrieved parties reconcile with each other to prevent violence and death and loss of weak faith. Peacemakers help identify the heart of a conflict between aggrieved parties, shed light on the sources of conflict, empathize with each party to the conflict, and identify the godly desires all parties may hold in common, while enduring emotional squabbling in order to bring potentially violent opponents to terms of peace with which all parties can live under God's moral commands. The term peacemaker can refer to those who help bring earthly peace between governments, as well as to those who help deliver spiritual peace between God and sinners, or to those who help bring peace between brothers, or between a husband and his wife, or between a mother and her daughter, or between neighbors. All Christians are peacemakers when they mediate between their neighbors and speak the best about each other and keep quiet about the bad, when there's no proof or when no further harm to others would occur except to inflame the aggrieved party. But if you must talk about an evil deed, do as Christ has taught you. Do not tell it to others, but first deal with the log in your own eye. Then you will see clearly to help with the splinter in your brother's eye. Admonish your erring brother to improve his behavior, gently at first, firmly if rebuffed. Either way, be humble and poor in spirit. Do not speak when you ought to listen, and do not be quiet when you ought to speak. If this does not bring reconciliation, then bring your evidence, what you have seen and heard, to the proper authorities who have the jurisdiction, whether spiritual, civil, or criminal, to examine and cross-examine the evidence and to discipline or punish the evildoer in order to alleviate the existing harm and to prevent future harm, and hopefully to bring each guilty party to meaningful repentance. When the sin is evident to everyone and widespread or damages too many people, then it's no longer time to be quiet, but only to defend the innocent and weak and to publicly counterattack the public sin. If the sin teaches something harmful to others, then it's time for those in public office, whose task it is to teach and to warn everyone, to speak and rebuke the sin and the unrepentant sinner publicly, so that others will know what and who to avoid and why. A righteous counterattack against a sinner whose teaching has attacked the gospel of the everlasting kingdom of heaven will include the direct evidence of the harm done and the cause of the harm, so that others may take heed and avoid the soul-destroying sin or confess it before it's too late. Scriptures warn preachers to be ready to give an account of the souls we have overseen, nurtured, and defended. And the wolves that would attack the Lord's sheep must be dealt with swiftly to protect the sheep for which Christ has shed his own blood. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. For the peace the sons of God make in the world, for the mercy the merciful share with those who sin against them, for the purity which those who see God keep in their hearts, for the powerful kindness and self-discipline, for the meek, which the meek show to the needy and in the face of tyranny and oppression, for the humble and the mournful. Jesus says that those who repent and follow him will suffer persecution, slander, and all kinds of evil on his account. But when you see the persecutions happen to faithful Christians or experience persecutions firsthand, do not despair. Jesus gives us reason to rejoice and be glad, for the immediate reward is not the final great reward. The final great reward is to be resurrected with Jesus into the everlasting kingdom of heaven. Thanks be to God. No matter what happens to his faithful servants this side of heaven, the faithful children of God are blessed. You are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand for the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.